The views expressed in this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of 94.9 CHRW.
License and registration, please. Ma'am, you know why I pulled you over?
Yeah, I have a theory.
Kids are jumping up and down. They should be sitting, wearing their seatbelts.
I yelled at them. They never listen to me. It's very frustrating.
We're going to have to find a way to control them. After all, that's your job.
Though he'd been a policeman for 6 years, Officer Hayes had never found himself in a truly dangerous situation. Then again, he had never before told a woman how to raise her children.
You saying I'm a bad mother?
Ma'am, you need to get back in your car, please.
I have no help. My husband's always away on business.
I'm going to have to ask you to step back now.
My babysitter joined the witness relocation program. I haven't slept through the night in 6 years. And for you to stand there and judge me.
Okay. I'm not going to give you a ticket. Just going to let you off. Don't worry.
I accept your apology.
Good morning, London. It is Thursday, May 5th, 2011. I'm Bob Metz.
And I'm Robert Vaughn.
And this is Just Right on CHRW 94.9 FM.
Where we will be with you from now until noon.
Not right wing, just right.
Fade into color, and color into black and white. Under the bedclothes, everything will be alright.
519-661-3600 is always the number you can call to reach us on Just Right on CHRW every Thursday. And on today's show, boy, have we got a smorgasbord for you. Everything from the royal wedding to Osama bin Laden to a Harper majority to Obama's birth certificate. Is it real? That's what we're going to be talking about later on in the second half of the show. But first, in the first half of the show, we're going to be talking about a very sensitive issue, and we have a guest in our studio today joining us, and that is Ann Patterson of searches at simpatico.ca. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on the program.
Now, you're a former private investigator, researcher, advocate for proper oversight of children's aid societies, which is going to be part of our issue today. And, you know, I know that for you, our subject and theme for today is both professional and a personal experience for you, right?
It is.
And it's funny, when I see some of your postings online, I'm reminded of someone else we had on the show. Remember Robert Kathy Shadle, 5 Feet of Fury?
Oh, yes.
Whose choice of words and phrases, like your baby broker bill, child trafficking, you know, you use terms like child trafficking, tyrants, family destruction, you know. Well, you got my attention, and I think that was the reason you used those words, right?
Yes.
Now, what you're trying to get our attention on is something called Bill 179, Ontario Bill, and it is called, I believe, Building Families and Supporting Youth to Be Successful Act.
It's an act to amend the Child and Family Services Act, mm-hmm. respecting adoption and the provision of care and maintenance. Now, the Child and Family Services Act is a huge monster of an act, and this is just set to amend it.
Mm-hmm. So why should we be, is this not a great thing for kids and for parents?
Well, on the surface of it, it looks like it is, but essentially what this bill will do is remove what they say access orders to children and families. And essentially what that means is that, say your child has been apprehended by the Children's Aid,
mm-hmm.
Oftentimes they apprehend children not necessarily because of abuse concerns, but because somebody has reported. They have to do an investigation, etc. Sometimes they return them, sometimes they don't. What this type of bill would do, or this provision would do, is actually completely annul any contact that the mother, father, or grandparent could have with the child.
Despite any previous arrangements or already existing orders of any sort, or just out of the blue?
Well, despite basically any type of access order, yes. In this act, one of the things that it basically says that's very profound,
mm-hmm.
nothing in this act prohibits a society from planning for the adoption of a Crown ward, in respect of whom there is an access order in effect. And so say you have a person where the child is in the care of the children's aid, you have a father perhaps, and he is fighting with his lawyer to obtain custody back of his child, this provision would actually supersede any efforts even of a parent, a grandparent, or anyone that has access to the child. It basically gives children's aids and the state a sweeping power to oversee that. And my worry is that people are not going to have an appropriate time period to even be able to fight these agencies.
What is the status of the act right at this moment?
The status of the act at this moment is second reading. And in fact, it's actually connected to another act called Bill 183, and that is the Ombudsman's Oversight Act. Currently, actually, as we speak, there's such concern about both of these bills, one's good, one not so much, that there are numerous groups in Toronto as we speak, grandparents groups, fathers' rights groups, former fostered adults, former adopted adults who had been through children's aids, and supporters who are actually at Queen's Park today. Rosario Marchis is actually going to introduce the second reading of the Ombudsman's Oversight Act, which is Bill 183. And at the same time, that particular group is also going to be having a rally actually against Bill 179, because they do not feel that children's aids have appropriate oversight. And with this particular act giving them even more power, people are extremely concerned.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the first reading of the act passed unanimously with the support of all sides of the House. Is that correct?
It is correct, yeah.
So is there any hope for any opposition party like HUDAC or anything like that to get on side with the opposition and with some with your groups to see whether or not they can halt the passage of this bill without some proper input?
Well, there's a few things to be said with that. I know Mr. HUDAC, and I was reading Hansard from yesterday's debate regarding this bill, Mr. HUDAC has categorically ordered his party to support this bill, which I find extremely disturbing, because this has severe implications for families. Children do not grow on trees. They have a mom and a dad. They have grandparents and relatives. And this is essentially talking about taking children away from their natural families and procuring them for adoption. It's very, very serious. It's very, very painful for families to lose their children. And as we've seen even from the Charles Smith victims, certainly there's a lot of situations where children actually shouldn't even be in the care of the children's aides to begin with. So as far as the government, as far as Mr. HUDAC, I'm really disappointed that they're not more aggressively pursuing this and asking some more probing questions. The NDP have actually been very, very good with this bill, in the sense that, yes, they support certain aspects of it that they feel is beneficial to children. There's a whole other section of it that we're not concerned with. They've been asking questions. They've been bringing things up. Peter Cormos actually compared this particular section of this bill, 141.11, as being almost like something to negative billing with Rogers Cable, in the sense that, and I really give him credit for that. He's actually asking very, very pertinent questions, because to fight such a monstrosity of an agency as Children's AIDS in 30 days, and this is what this bill gives parents a window of, again, is really, really serious. And I think that the NDP, with great respect, are asking some very, very pertinent questions, and I give them credit for that.
Now, why would they want to fast-track something like this through, and why would the Conservatives and the Liberals be so in favor of it? I'm looking at their justification of this. They have a backgrounder called Giving More Kids a Place to Call Home, which sounds a lot different from your backgrounder, which is called the Trojan Horse of Family Destruction. Yeah. And so obviously there's two different points of view here. Now, I notice that in their highlights, the big thing is they want to increase the number of children growing up in permanent homes. And they're discussing important changes to how children's aid societies are funded, though it doesn't really say in their overview what that is. In 2010, public adoptions increased by 21% over the year before. And then, of course, they tell you that research shows that children and youth have in permanent care have significantly better outcomes outcomes than who? Outcomes than kids in the Crown Ward, or who are they talking about here? That's what I'm thinking they're talking about, but they don't say. And so, you know, we can look at this legislation, but how would this manifest itself possibly in someone's life down on the street? Because I know you've seen a lot of that. I know you've even lived some of it yourself.
Well, I have. I was myself in foster care, and I was actually adopted from the Children's Aid. And I can honestly say, I almost reunited people, fostered adults and adopted adults, for almost 20 years. And I can tell you, I did not see a great sea of forever safe, forever families and wonderful adoptions. Unfortunately, a lot of the things that have transpired with Children's AIDS are more than questionable, to say the very least. There has been a lot of child abuse in both foster care and adoption. There has not even been home studies done in many cases. Worse, there have been children that have been sent to the United States and other countries. There have been grave problems. This particular legislation does not really include or address anyone that's actually been in the system, which I find very disturbing. They're not consulting with adopted adults to say what, well, basically to obtain what we think about this so that we could actually make it better. They're certainly not consulting any natural parents that have had their children taken, mostly, in my opinion, not really for good purposes, and in fact not always because of abuse by any means. And they have certainly not even contacted grandparents groups, fathers' rights groups. As far as the average person on the street, the way I read this bill and the way I read the sweeping power that Children's AIDS are going to have with this particular bill, my concern with this is that, say, a person is fighting to obtain their child back out of Children's AIDS. Maybe they had a neighbor that does not like them. They have called the Children's Aid. They have made false child abuse allegations against that parent, which happens all the time. It's not to say that there aren't some legitimate cases. There are.
Of course.
But in a situation where, say, a person has been falsely accused of child abuse, my fear with this bill is before they're even going to be able to address it with their lawyer, that child can now actually be taken for adoption. My other concern with this bill, as far as what you were saying before, is that the stakeholders and the people who have done research, according to the government, with this bill, it's such a stacked deck. It's just unbelievable. It's infertility groups, and it's people who wish to adopt that are now, you know, professing themselves to be experts. Well, with all due respect, the people who have already been adopted are the experts, and we have a lot to say to actually help children from experiencing some very, very negative situations, such as being placed into abusive homes, such as being shipped out of the country. There's been very, very serious things that have happened with Children's AIDS, and my fear is that unless somebody has a lawyer sleeping under their bed or $100K in their mattress, fighting them if they go ahead with rescinding an access order mm-hmm. is going to be very, very difficult for not just mothers and fathers, but grandparents. Grandparents are very, very concerned about this bill right now. Grandparents not collectively, but many do not wish to see their grandchildren in the care of Children's AIDS. And why should they be? Children should not be in care of Children's AIDS unless there is a very valid reason and real tangible child abuse. Not because people wish to adopt.
What's the kind of timeline that somebody would be looking at from the point that an allegation, false or not, is made against them and their child is taken from them, till the time that it clears the process so that they can hopefully get their child back if it hasn't already been adopted off somewhere? What's the timeline?
Well, this is actually quite dubious with the bill, and it's another concern of mine. I really don't see a definite time period. What I see is the sweeping, you know, sentence, nothing in this act prohibits a society from planning for the adoption of a Crown Ward.
So this could take years, perhaps?
I think what I think could happen is, particularly with younger children, because they want babies, they want younger children, potential adoptive parents, right now, there have been, in fact, parents that have been fighting Children's AIDS for years. I actually have a few friends that received proper help from lawyers, and they were able to obtain their children back from the custody of the Children's Aid. It was false child abuse allegations, and yes, their kids were in that system for a few years, and they are now speaking out. Their concern with this bill is that it is such a fast track to adoption that they're not even going to have a leg to stand on to get their kids out, whether they're guilty or not.
They could be taken when they're in elementary school, say 7 or 8 years old, and not even see them again until they're past high school. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and it's happened before.
From false allegations.
There's a number of different things. In the 60s, and I was in foster care in the 60s and adopted in the 60s, Children's Aids often made sweeping errors and omissions. They were not telling parents of their legal rights. Parents were terribly upset, as you can imagine. They were intimidated by them. They didn't have proper legal advice, and so they kind of went ahead. And unfortunately, what happened is, and I will call it this because I was in it, they had what I would call a massive baby farm, and they had so many infants that they had taken Children's Aids that we were shipped from pillar to post like ping pong balls all over the province. Some of us were in 8 to 9 homes before the age of 2 years old, which is utterly ridiculous. It's not in a child's best interest whatsoever. And they had so many kids that should not have been in care. I guess my fear with this is that they are going to reorchestrate something of this nature all over again, and it actually terrifies me as to the outcome.
Well, let's talk about that a little more after our first break now, and when we come back, we'll be talking about who's behind this this whole new system of adoption and confiscating kids almost. We're with Ann Patterson in studio today. 519-661-3600 is the number you can call if you want to join the conversation. And we'll be back right after this.
We adopted a baby. Her name is Lily.
Oh, exciting!
Just turn it off.
I can't turn it off. It's who I am.
The music.
Oh, yes, the music. Come say hi to Lily.
Oh, I cannot be sick. She's the little princess. She's so cute.
Let me see her.
Lily? Oh. Lily, isn't that going to be hard for her to say?
Drive away and leave them.
I know. I was just trying to scare them into behaving. Did you see where they went?
Yeah. They're in my kitchen.
Oh.
Listen, it seems to me that you have some anger management issues.
I have 4 kids under the age of 6. I absolutely have anger management issues.
Yeah, well, I think you need to talk to somebody because abandoning your children...
I didn't abandon them. I came back.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's not normal.
Well, my kids aren't normal, and now I don't have time for this lady, so... Boys, get out here!
No, I don't think they should go anywhere until you calm down.
Get in the car.
She's got cookies.
Well, bring them. We're leaving.
Oh, no. Stay put.
Oh, I don't think so. Oh.
Listen, lady, you and I are going to have a little talk.
Leave my mommy alone!
Let go of me! What's the matter with you? Run, boys, run!
Come on!
Get back on me, cold social service!
Well, you wouldn't want anybody coming after you from social services, eh?
Now, what's to stop this act? You know, let's say you're in your neighborhood and your neighbor doesn't like your kids throwing balls over your fence or something like stupid as that, or playing ball hockey out in front of the house. What's to stop a neighbor from calling Children's Aid, making a false allegation against somebody, which then the Children's Aid basically takes that complaint as real, before investigating, before actually finding out, and that kid could be taken from the family for years, and the parents don't really have much of a leg to stand on, do they?
No, they don't. And I know somebody had been commenting, for example, on Facebook, and they're saying, you know, you're fear-mongering, and In fact, I'm not fear-mongering. They've already done this, and we only need to look at the Aboriginal communities and reserves that were absolutely wiped out and crucified by Children's AIDS. What most people don't know is that they actually did the same thing, but the next target after them was unmarried parents in the 60s. Mm-hmm. My parents were never child abusers, for example. They were simply unmarried, and the CIS came at them in that regard, right? They were unfit, et cetera, et cetera. It's very, very scary, in fact, Robert, because there's nothing to stop them. And I believe, in fact, even the Children's AIDS themselves, and I don't have the exact percentage, but I do believe it was somewhere of at least 48%, if not higher, that they're experiencing false child abuse allegations, which is really insidious. And unfortunately, sometimes you'll see this as well, particularly with divorcing couples. There's a lot of problems going on with that. And
I noticed with your reference to the Aboriginal situation that that's going to continue to be a problem under this new act, because apparently they've worked out a deal with First Nations so that Aboriginal children and youth will remain in their communities and cannot be adopted outside of their communities. So they're kind of trapped in there, you know. It's almost a racist policy in that sense. You can't adopt outside your own nationality or race or background, or cultural background, at least with respect to that one group.
And to be honest with you, I don't believe that that's going to happen.
No?
Because it didn't before. I want to know, I mean, to me, it's just amazing that anyone could support a bill of this, just this absolute magnitude. To me, it's the equivalent of having the police arbitrarily round up anyone out in the street, arrest them, put them in jail, and you've got 30 days to appeal it, or you're done, right? Your goose is cooked, you're charged. We're talking about taking children away from their real, natural families. And I'm quite afraid for Aboriginal groups, and I'm very afraid for reserves. God help them if they're going to do what they did in the 60s again. I don't trust them, unfortunately.
Are there any groups out there who would stand to financially gain from this act?
Huge. Absolutely huge. What they have right now is they have working and supporting this bill, the Adoption Council of Ontario. And they have an infertility expert panel, that's what they call themselves. They're all affiliated with private adoption brokers. The people who have a lot to gain from this are, in fact, private adoption brokers, because if Children's AIDS want to procure infants for adoption, which I think they do, they're going to be able to farm that work out for home studies to these private brokers who can get as much from 10 to 15K for doing alleged home studies.
By home studies, you mean looking at someone's condition in their home, and if they judge them to be, quote, unfit, then they take the kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. For the prospective adoptive parents is where they come in. So they would...
they're shopping? Is that what you're saying?
I would say that, I mean, they call themselves private practitioners. I'm sorry, I call them baby brokers because that's what they're doing.
Is the Children's AIDS Society, in your opinion, how can I put this, acting is in its own interest or acting in the interest of parents or children or the state or who? Who would you say the Children's AIDS is? Whose side are they on when it comes right down to it from your experience?
From my experience, their clients are certainly not children. From my experience, the Children's AIDS are on the side of the state and they're on the side of prospective adoptive parents. The state loved this years ago. One of the reasons that they did is they thought, wow, isn't this terrific? It's going to clear the welfare rolls. We'll just throw them into adoption and get all these people off of welfare. And, I mean, it sounds really simple, but to me, the mess that this has caused has actually increased expenditures of the government 1,000-fold over. 53%.
At the beginning of the year, they were talking about Children's AIDS Society is going bankrupt and they wouldn't last another week. And all the politicians were in town here, you know, saying, oh, are we going to save them? Will they last another week?
It looks as if they found a way to save them.
Absolutely.
And it seems that the big thing is terminating access orders. That almost seems to be the single focus of the largest focus of this act is to. What is the purpose of that? You know, it kind of bothers me when I see that. Even a child adopted, do they have any kind of access at all, or is that something you want to have terminated? I don't know.
I think the problem with this is that, yes, the access order absolutely bothers me too, because we're talking about real human beings. We're talking about denying mom, dad, grandparents, aunties, uncles, cousins, and a loving family, a natural family, from their child. And terminating access orders is terminating human connections with children and their real families. Because the people backing this bill are infertility groups and adoption groups, it in fact worries me even more, because the true stakeholders of this bill and the arrogance of the government to actually say that this bill is for prospective adoptive parents and adoptive parents is absolutely insidious, in my opinion. The real stakeholders that are going to be affected are the children.
Now, the Children's Aid Societies in Ontario are private societies, correct?
They are, in fact, and a lot of people don't understand how they work. I didn't even, and I had been through that system until my 20s. I had no idea.
But they think that they're funding from government.
They receive funding from government. They're actually, what they are is 53 private nonprofit corporations. They each have different bylaws. They each have a different board of directors. I I've seen so much in this system. There are certainly agencies that are far worse than others.
And there has to be a few good ones, too, you would think, too. Or are they a few and far between?
I think that there are some good workers in some of these agencies, yes. I think that there are aspects that have changed a little bit for the better in a very, very slim way. But the system itself, I think, is so atrocious that it should actually be completely gutted and torn down.
So right now, the Children's Aid Societies have been given special powers under these acts to come into people's homes under almost any pretext and take people's children away from them. Wouldn't a proper way to handle allegations of abuse be to call the police and have the police come in and investigate, and then when they find evidence, you know, act on it, rather than have this private company who stands to financially gain from acts like this come in and, well, I mean, you have to question their motives. Perhaps taking kids without any evidence perpetuates a system which they financially benefit from. Is that a fair assessment, do you think?
I would say that's more than a fair assessment. I would say that's exactly the Children's Aids in a nutshell, because these agencies receive funding for every child in their care, which is also part of the problem. If the government were to say to the Children's Aid, this is your budget for the year, you have X amount of dollars, this is what you are required to do under a specific mandate, that would be one thing. But unfortunately, because they do fund them per child captured, I would say that it's very, very difficult, because it's giving them an incentive to apprehend. Now, I know, in all fairness, there have been some better workers, there have been some agencies who have really looked at this and they've said, what are we doing? For instance, I met some grandparents last year, and the CAS that they were dealing with, I was just amazed. They were actually great with them. Instead of just saying, hey, you know, your son's abusive, you're not going to see your grandchild for 80 years or more, they actually wanted to work with grandparents and provide proper kinship care services. They were actually doing what I think they should be, instead of focusing on stranger adoption, instead of focusing on, well, Betty and Bob are infertile and they would like your baby. This is not the focus. I find this bill terrifying in the sense of who is backing this up. It's infertility groups. And I also find it outrageous that the Ministry of Child and Youth Services is even studying infertility. Infertility should be in the Ministry of Health. Adoption is not a cure for infertility. It's not that I don't have any compassion for people who are infertile, but in my opinion, this bill is almost saying to them, you have a right to somebody else's child because you're gay, you have a right to somebody else's child because you're infertile, and don't you worry about that, we're going to find those kids for you. And it's hidden under the guise, which is why I called it a Trojan horse, hidden under the guise of, we're going to find forever safe, forever families for 9,000 Crown wards. It's not going to happen.
What can people do about all this? Is there an umbrella group?
I was just going to ask that same question. Are there any advocates for parents or children coming over the horizon right now to help address this issue, to look at it?
There are numerous groups. There is, well, Canada Court Watch has been trying to address numerous problems with children's AIDS, one of them being that social workers are not even properly registered. There is a group called Stop Children's AIDS from taking children from good parents. There are just so many to actually list. I could actually produce, if you want me to in the future, a more comprehensive list.
Well, I think
there's CanBrands. Yeah.
Sure, I think that would be a great thing to do. Oh, Ann Patterson, I got to thank you for opening our eyes to a situation here. I think we've got a can of worms here we're going to have to get into again later on in the future. So we'd like to welcome you. Thank you for being on the show today. And hopefully more of us should learn about Bill 179 before the Ontario legislature right now. That's it for this half, and thank you for coming along. And we have to move on, Robert, after this break. What are we going to be talking about?
Oh, a potpourri of politics that has happened in the last week. It's been a really eventful week.
Busy
and we're going to
touch
on a lot of it.
That's for sure. Monumental events. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Good thing we had Mom's gas card.
Don't make me regret buying you that lighter, dude. Put it down.
Okay, I'm just going to say it. Our parents are totally irresponsible, and I'm not just talking about us walking in on their little freak show earlier.
Just let it go.
No. We're lucky to be alive. How often do they let Luke go to school in shorts in the winter? And they let me ride in the front seat before I was 60 pounds. And they never shut the gate at the top of the stairs when we were babies. Do you know how many times you fell on your head? Do you?
No.
We get it. It was bad. But, you know, I guess it's better than having parents who fight all the time. Maybe.
My friend Jacob's parents are getting divorced. He has to move out of his house. I told him last week.
That sucks. He'll get used to it. Half of my friends' parents are divorced.
Mine too.
It's insane.
So it's a good thing Mom and Dad still do sex.
Better than Mom leaving the stove on, which she's done twice this month. I just realized we haven't even gotten to the worst part of it yet.
Which is?
They're gonna want to talk about it.
Maybe not.
Are you kidding? Their parents never talked about anything, so they want to talk about everything.
Yeah, they called a family meeting when we switched to 1% milk.